Blog Talk Radio.
The clock goes tick tock, the heartbeats hip hop. You know there's something greater you're called to be. You shut tight your eyes and breathe in.
I love that song. Welcome to Shapeshifting. I'm your host, Lisa Bunnies, author of Shapeshifting, Reclaiming Your Perfect Body. That's my birds in the background, Peep and Lemonhead. You'll be hearing a lot of them in the next hour. Anyway, author of Shapeshifting, Reclaiming Your Perfect Body, which is a body, mind, spirit look at weight balancing. And I am also the author of, drum roll please, because I'm ecstatic to announce, the brand new, just released on Easter, Shapeshifter's Daily Diary. I am so excited to finally announce this book as available. It's been coming for a very long time, and it's finally here on Easter, which is kind of cool. And I'm really excited about this because even I am amazed by how well it works. After 6 weeks of using this diary, a draft version, I have accomplished all three of the primary goals I set for myself, because the diary, it's not just a journal, it's a creation tool. While using it, you flow into a new you in the same way that river currents reshape boulders. Every entry reshapes the contours of your life, and by becoming conscious of who you are becoming on a daily basis, you have much more deliberate say in what your contours will eventually look like. And the diary uses five powerful creation components: triumphs, makeovers, challenges, intentions, and epiphanies. It sounds complicated, but it's really not. It's actually a lot of fun. The diary will help you to not only create and keep track of accomplishments, which is one of the most important things in manifesting, is feeling grateful for the good things in life, but to also recognize and reframe any roadblocks. Instead of keeping them as roadblocks, you look at them from a different perspective, and they just dissolve. And as I mentioned a minute ago, after only 6 weeks of using the diary, I accomplished three of my primary goals, which were, one, improvement in health and weight, and I've lost 8 pounds so far, and I made huge breakthroughs in a nagging health issue. You can read about that on my blog if you're interested. I won't talk about it here. The second one is that I've completed the first act of my novel, which has been in my head for like 5 or 6 years. I'm finally getting it out there. And the third one was I declared a goal to manifest a car of my own. We were a one-car family, and I had to always make special arrangements to be able to use the car. And while I didn't get a new car, my life circumstances changed so that I finally have daily access to our car, which to me is just as good. The diary also allows for new goals or extensions of existing goals, because life is an ever-expanding, continuous process, and I have no doubt that using this diary will help me to accomplish so many more of my dreams, because it helps me to focus my creative energy daily in a positive and powerful way. And you can check it out at shapeshiftingonline.com. The diary is especially useful for shapeshifters groups. So if you prefer to work with others as with a support system, visit the Shapeshifting Online site for information on how to do that. And besides, groups get a group discount rate on books. So there. Another wonderful announcement is the opening of the Shapeshifting community, where you'll find all of the shapeshifting resources you could ever want. There's my blog, a discussion forum, finally, videos, links to all the shapeshifting radio shows, reminders of upcoming shows, all sorts of other cool gadgets. And again, you can find a link to the community at shapeshiftingonline.com. But enough commercials. You're here for the show, and today I've got my friend, psychic medium Glenna Dietrich, back again as my guest. We did a show last month that blew everybody away, so we decided to go to do another one this month, and Glenna's going to do a channeling for us today, and we're going to talk about what the heck divine timing really means. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Glenna's work, if this is your first time with her, she was featured in the book Courageous Souls, and the channeled work in Interview with the Universe with Elizabeth Ann Hill. You can find those CDs or even download the recordings at interviewwiththeuniverse.com. And that link will be available on the shapeshiftingonline.com website, as well as any other links that come up while we talk after the show. So let's go ahead and get started. Hi, Glenna. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm good, Lisa. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, I just love doing this so much. I mean, you're just so fun to talk to, period. But the guides' channelings are always so cool. So this is my pleasure. I'm delighted to have you here today. This will be good. So one of the things that I want to talk about, first of all, like I said earlier, for those of you who don't know who Glenna is and aren't familiar with her work, Glenna, why don't you tell people just a little bit about what a reading with you is like?
Well, my full readings, I ask that people send their astrological information to me, their birthday, time, place of birth, their full birth name, and then I look at their astrological chart, do that up on my computer, and look at their chart, and use that as kind of a foundation. The charts actually start me in a direction because I'm looking for evolutionary levels. I'm looking for things that I can bring out and show to people, things that may be blocks for them, things that may really accelerate their process, and very possibly what is their next step in life. Mm-hmm. And then I do a channeling after that for them. Okay. But I am now offering, for people who would just like to have a channeling done, I'm offering a special on doing that for folks, just because I feel like it's important to get information out there, and especially on a personal level, with all the changes and the shifting that's going on and the strange happenings around us and in our lives, I think it's really important to have as much support as is possible during this time. So I'm offering just the channeling work for individuals, and that goes anywhere between 30 and 45 minutes, and it's a phone reading, and I tape that, and then you get a copy of that after we're finished.
Okay, that's fantastic. I've had channelings from Glenna and the guides before, and I can strongly recommend that you take Glenna up on this offer. Now, they can get a hold of you at the interviewwiththeuniverse.com site, and let's go ahead and give out your email address.
My email address is mysticalray@gmail.com.
All right. And again, if you don't have a pen, go to the site, and I'll post that link so you can find it there when you're looking for it. What we wanted to do today, the last time I had a reading from Glenna and the guides, I asked the guides about why I haven't been able to manifest something in particular. And they, I'm paraphrasing, said that it's up to me. There's no outside forces keeping me from having what I wanted. And this kind of confused me after I hung up and, you know, had time to think about this, because I've always heard that there's, you can ask for things all you want, but sometimes you don't get what you want because some part of you knows better, knows that something better is coming your way, and that you don't always get what you want because you don't always need, you know what I'm saying. So then we have the idea of divine timing, where things come to you when you're ready for them, and I'm just kind of confused about what exactly is the real story here. Can we really manifest anything we want, or is there something that we don't know about keeping us from our desires, and what is divine timing? So that, in essence, is what I'm wondering about today. Glenna, is that kind of what you're thinking about here?
Yeah, exactly, and that's what the guides have been encouraging me to talk about with individuals as well.
Oh, great, great. So that would be part of somebody else's reading if they were to call in. Great.
Exactly.
Okay, I don't mean call into the show. Today, if we're going to take questions today at all for the guides, we're going to do them on the chat room, just because taking phone calls will be a little difficult while Glenna's in trance. So if you do have questions, please go ahead and type them in. And if I don't see it right away, please repost it, because that chat room, as you know, once it scrolls, you've lost any previous text. So if I don't see your question, keep posting it. Glenna, did you want to go ahead and do it up?
Yeah, that
okay.
Sounds great. Thanks, Lisa.
Sure.
Okay, I'd like everybody to just kind of drop what they're doing right now, and we'll do a little bit of a meditation together, just kind of get ourselves out of the world, so to speak, and into our inner worlds. And so if each of you would like to just close your eyes, and wherever you're sitting, drop whatever's in your hands and put your hands in your lap And then just begin to take a few deep breaths, deep cleansing breaths. And see yourself on each exhale beginning to relax your body a little bit more, a little bit more with each exhale. Begin to relax your body from the bottoms of your feet all the way up your legs, your torso, your arms and your shoulders. Relaxing your neck, your head, your facial muscles. And just kind of settle, sink down into the chair that you're sitting on. And feel yourself very supported and very safe. Continue your deep breathing with each out-breath, making you a little more relaxed. Now in your mind's eye, notice that there's a beautiful golden light that's beginning to come into your field, surrounding your body. It's very warm. It's very comforting. Surrounding your body and buoying your body with its light. And now with your next in-breath, if you would breathe this golden light into your body and see in your mind's eye it entering into your lungs and being carried by your bloodstream to all parts of your body, to your vital organs, to your bones and joints, your muscles, all the way out to the ends of your fingertips, ends of your toes, and the ends of your hair, until every cell in your body is filled with this beautiful golden light. And continue to breathe deeply and relax even more fully. And now if you would center your attention on your heart center, and access that essence of yourself that is love, unconditional love, and unconditional acceptance. And feel that very fully. That is who you are. And now in your next breath, if you would open your heart and allow that unconditional part of you, that essence that is you, to flow to all of us who are on this call and doing this work together on this afternoon. And we connect our heart centers together, flowing love and unconditional acceptance from one to the next. And we create a beautiful circle of love. And into this circle, we invite any guides, any ascended masters, angels, and archangels who would like to be a part of this work that we're doing together for the best and highest good of all. And now into this circle, into the center of this circle, we bring each of us our intentions, and we watch as these intentions create a pillar of rainbow light. And this light begins to ascend. It goes upward to 60 miles above the earth, the edges of the atmosphere, the place where the earth connects with her cosmic self. And this beautiful pillar of light then surrounds the earth, so that each being and the planet herself benefits from all that we do together today. And now, whenever you're ready in your totally relaxed state, come back to this moment. And next time you hear my voice, it will be the voice of our guides. So be it. And so it is on this day that we welcome you, on this beautiful day of life in your realm, in your 3D realm, and we wish to honor each and every one of you with great respect and admiration, as we see so many of you struggling with these questions, so many of you dealing with what you would call extraordinary circumstances in your lives, things that are knowledge to you and are awareness to you, and yet they have not yet come into your physical existence. And we would say that at this moment in time, and in our moment of timing, this is the perfect place, this is the perfect time for all of us to come together and have what we would consider to be a discussion of what you call divine timing. And so we would start at this time by offering our host to ask us questions about this issue.
Wow, great. Excuse me, I have no voice now suddenly. Well, as I mentioned before Glenna went into trance, that my initial question is, how does divine timing come into play if there are no outside forces? Obviously, we're all one. I think we all understand the concept of unity, that we're all one giant being. So let's take that out of the conversation. But is there a part of ourselves? Is there some level of consciousness? What is it that prevents us from having what we desire right now? Instead, we seem to have to wait for what has been called divine timing.
We would say to you that at this time, there has been much shifting of the energies on your planet. There is also much shifting of the consciousness and awareness of each and every one of you. And we would say that what you have considered and described as divine timing in the past has now changed and evolved as well. We would say that, to answer your question, the biggest blockage or the biggest problem, so to speak, that we see in many of you as you struggle with this manifestation issue and timing is that you are not clear about the fact that you are responsible, that you are the creator, that it is you that creates that timing, that it is you that creates either the open flowing and magnetization of that which you desire into your life, or it is you that blocks this. And we would say that all of the changes that are coming about now need to come from within first. Many of you as individuals are still focused on what is happening on the outside of you. And we would say, as long as you focus on what is happening on the outside of you, you are focused on what is and not on what it is that you want. And so we would say that it is clear to us that even though there has been considerable shifting, and we are very pleased with this, by the way, and also very surprised by it, as we did not expect this to happen as it has, we would say that even though there has been a surprise and much movement here, there are still many of you manifest on certain levels and yet feel stuck on other levels. And we would say that clearly there are those of you who manifest and magnetize to yourself those desires for a period of time, and then something will happen. A thought will interfere, and you are not quite conscious of that thought. And yet the thought or the belief system that created that thought is constantly pushing into your awareness, into your consciousness. That creates an interference with that flow in which you have stepped into. Now, we would say to you that it is very clear to us that this is a process, that many of you create spaces for yourself wherein which there are periods of time wherein you then clearly manifest and you are aware of it. There are also many times when you are clearly manifesting and yet you are unaware of the manifestation that you are creating. we would say that at this time it is ever more important that what we and many of us have told you for this period of time, wherein many of you have been focused on metaphysical principles and the change that was about to happen and is now happening to you, that we have spoken to you many, many times about the clarity of your thought process, of the need for you to pay attention to what thought you are holding. Now, we would say that many of you have created space for yourself to do a very good job of doing this. But there are those outside forces, and these are those which you have spoken of, that are pushing against that, that are deliberately focused on attempting to keep you from this process. There is much fear involved in this change. There is much that is very threatening to the systems and the structures that exist in your culture at this time. And we would say it is those forces, not individuals, but those forces that have been created by the structures and the systems that create that pressure. They are unable to change. They are unable to allow the evolving to happen. And so we would say that many of those things are indicated by the level of media reports that many of you listen to. And as you do this, you create a place wherein your old beliefs, which you have been very familiar with for eons of time, to come back into your awareness and, so to speak, kind of take over your thought processes. They wake up those old habits of thinking, those old habits of belief systems. And we would say that as you struggle as individuals to let go of those belief systems, it is ultimately very important for you to surround yourself with those things and those people and those ideas that support your evolution, that support you allowing those belief systems to fall away, and support you in looking at that which is what you are desiring to manifest unto yourself.
Okay. That brings up another question. You were talking about the media, and I'm totally on the same page. I try to avoid mainstream media at all costs, especially the news. But there is also a desire within me, and I assume within others, to know what's going on in the world. I think it's important to have some idea what's going on in the planet without becoming obsessed and fixated on the negativity and all of the awfulness you were talking about. How then would you recommend we keep a foot in both worlds? How do we find balance between what is going away and what we're stepping into? Or do we not even try to maintain balance and just plow forward, leaving it all behind?
We would say that would be your own personal preference. There would be some of you who would have the ability and the need and desire to do what you would say, plowing ahead, and leave all that exists behind them. This is very difficult for others. And we would say that this truly is that experiment of the balancing of one foot in one world and one foot in the other. And we would say that as this shifting takes place, you will find yourself more and more with both feet in one world and both feet in the other world. And this will create some perplexing problems for you as your own personal vibration and frequency is heightened. So we would say to you that the ultimate would be to spend whatever amount of time and focus you would feel comfortable with focusing on the old. In other words, listening to your news broadcasts and taking that in and attempting an experiment with that, wherein you would listen to a news broadcast. You would feel the feelings that it creates in your body and acknowledge the thoughts that it creates in your mind, and then change those thoughts one at a time as they come into you. We would say that as you do this, you would get more and more practice at keeping both feet in the new energy, perhaps more and more, and in more of a comfortable place. You see, as your vibration changes and your body mutates, there is a need for you to spend that time within the old vibration as kind of a release point. And then you move into the new energetic fully for a period of time until that energy becomes uncomfortable for you. Then you move back into the old energy again. This is the way we view most humans as having to manage this. There are those few individuals who have the ability to keep one foot in each world, and yet this is a very difficult process indeed.
Wow, that explains so much. What I'm wondering now then is, what happens when we step into this new world? A lot of us have the question, what's it going to be like? Once we're actually into the whole new energy and we've got both feet there and we're living there, do we lose contact with all of our friends and family who are still on the other side of the veil? What's going to happen? If you can answer that.
We would say that it is not for us to make that decision, as you are the creators of your realm.
Okay.
And so we would say that it is your creation entirely. We would say that as your vibration rises, compassion, love, understanding, and tolerance becomes a greater part of you. And we would say that you would then be able to look at those individuals who have not traversed fully into the so-called new energy or new vibration, and that you would be able to, at a moment's notice, offer any assistance that someone is asking you for. It is not for you to fix or change or rescue anyone who is not ready or willing to traverse this divide or this gap between the two, and yet you would be willing at any moment to offer a hand to someone who asks you for assistance.
Okay. I think that's going to be a big relief for a lot of people who think that perhaps once we actually do ascend, so to speak, that we won't even be in the real world anymore. So that's comforting, I think. I want to back up just a little bit. I do have a question or two from the chat room, but one more question about the whole divine timing thing. We've been taught, and I'm open to the idea that this is an obsolete teaching, that when we are manifesting, this goes back to the whole somebody, something knows better than us, where we are supposed to ask for what we desire, this or something better. We don't limit, we don't be too specific, because maybe something better will come along. And that, again, sort of implies that there is a force outside of ourselves or something that knows better than we do. And I know you began to address this and then went off into a different answer. So can we address that briefly?
We would say that this particular teaching that you have described would become obsolete in you or for you if and when you are willing and able to tap deeply into your own wisdom and make those decisions that are applicable and are wisdom-oriented for you. We would say that as humans go, there are many, we would say the majority of you, are still focused on what is better, what is best for everyone. And we would say, once again, to go back to what you mentioned, that all are one here, and that you are a community, you are a consciousness all in one. And so once that has become a reality for you, as of now, most humans understand that only on an intellectual basis and do not completely embody that ideal. We would say once that has happened, then all of you would shift together. But as it is right now, there are many of you, and most of you, we would say, that are still in belief that you need to do something for others. You need to do it for the best interest of all involved. And yet we say to you that doing what is best for you, coming from your own center of wisdom and manifesting for yourself what it is that you want, that would bring your greatest desires forward, is what is best for everyone.
Okay. Thanks. That's very clear. One of the questions from the chat room, I think, is very germane. Jules is asking, what do I need to do to resolve a compulsive behavior within myself?
We would say that compulsive behaviors are always emulated when there is a deep-seated fear of something. And we would say that it would be very important and it would be very useful for you at this time to create a space wherein you could possibly go back in time, do your own work, your inner work, going back in time, asking that part of yourself, that aspect of you that holds the greatest wisdom, to help you come up with the event or events that created that belief in you that there was something to fear, there was great danger for you. At the bottom, at the root of any compulsive behaviors is this deep-seated fear that has been created within you. It is a difficult thing to deal with from the outside in simply because it is organic. It goes into your cells. So we would request for you to, first of all, relax, take deep breaths, remind yourself that you contain all the wisdom of the universe, and then ask that aspect of yourself that knows where this is rooted to step forward and speak to you, and then listen very carefully. We would say that this seems a difficult problem to deal with, and again we say, it is difficult from the outside in, but from the inside out, it is incredibly simple. It is not easy, but it's incredibly simple to come up with that idea of where that fear is located, what created it in the first place, an event for you. By doing so, you not only clear that fear, but you begin to stabilize and create a foundation of trust for yourself in many, many areas of your life that will benefit you greatly, will help you move further along your path of mastery. Is this clear?
It is to me. Let me check the chat room to see if, okay, there's no follow-up questions, so let's assume that that is clear. One of the other questions from the chat room says, what does divine timing do for us in the present, and how does it affect our external lives?
We would say once again that divine timing is simply your timing. It is your time to do that which is the wisest possibility for you. We would say that in recognizing that you are creating your life as you choose it to be, and to acknowledge that you have the power to do so, is truly what divine timing, or that description of divine timing, would be. As you evolve more fully, you will necessitate the change in your own intellect to shift into a recognition of a patterning that you fall into. And we would say once again that we go back to that level of responsibility, that level of recognizing that you have the ability to respond with your own wisdom to whatever situations and circumstances come into your life. It is not something on the outside of you. However, anything that is happening within yourself, any belief systems, thought patterns, any of those things that are happening within yourself are what create that which is on the outside of you. That is what magnetizes circumstances and people and events into your life. Totally and completely, there is no other force that is involved.
Okay, that it just clicked into place exactly what this means to me anyway. What the problem for my understanding was that we're calling it divine timing, and the word divine implies external God. So if we look at divine timing as our own God selves timing, then when we are stepping into our own power, we are stepping into our own divinity, and therefore the timing is now because we are choosing to be whatever it is. Is that accurate?
That is exactly accurate.
Cool. I love getting this stuff. Let me see if there's anything else here in the chat room. Is there a specific technique we can use to best facilitate this inner work that we could all use?
We would say that it is a very important aspect for you to have a level of trust and belief in yourself. And again, we would tell you that those outside forces, those things around you, the structures and the systems that are in place are all designed to draw you outside of yourself. They're all designed to make you or encourage you to look on the outside of yourself, to the experts, to someone who knows more, to something that is more powerful than you are. And we would say to collect that back within yourself. And to come from this place of power and trusting in yourself. There are many, many techniques that are available through many sources that would give you ideas on how to go about doing this. And we would say that it would be a personal preference which of these techniques you would choose. And again, choosing a technique would be relying upon your own inner wisdom, that which kind of inspires you, which vibrates well within you, that feels really good within you. These are the techniques that are going to work well for you. There are many, many, many techniques that are available for you to work with your own inner wisdom. And we fully encourage you to look around, to ask others, to read about them, to open yourself up to a variety of these techniques and see which one of them really vibrates well with you.
Okay. So basically just listen to our own wisdom, ask for assistance, and watch for it when it shows up.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about, you were talking about the, let's use the word outside forces, How would you define that? I think we all kind of know what you're talking about. It's almost like this big negative thought form just sort of hovering above the planet, and it's just sort of this smogish type bubble of icky that seems to be fed by people's misery and pain and sorrow. Is there anything that we can do to fade this away, or is that even our place? Will it always be there? Talk about that a little bit.
We would say that this, what you are speaking of, is fed by your attention. It is fed by people allowing their attention to be drawn to it. And so in your daily life, if you are an individual who rises in the morning, gives thanks for the day, gives thanks for their body, gives thanks for whatever it is that they own, whatever it is that brings them joy in their lives, and continually focuses on that during the day. Gives thanks in the evening before you rest, that there is no room for that, what you consider to be a large bubble or cloud, that will disintegrate as it gets no energy. As it gets no focus and no attention, as you focus totally on your life and what is good and powerful and wonderful about your own life, this will disintegrate on its own. It only needs your attention.
Okay. So let me make sure I've got this clear. It will disintegrate for an individual, meaning that it will no longer exist for me personally, or if, let's just go for a full-out scenario, if all 6 billion people on planet Earth just stopped paying attention to it, it would go away?
It would instantly disappear.
Okay. So I know a lot of people believe that what we're moving into, the whole 2012, the ascension, all that type of stuff, is that we're going to now live in this nirvana world, and you know, we're going to be levitating and floating around with wings and all this type of stuff. And then other people who like to deal with more what they call common sense say, well, you know, that's just a fairyland. That's not what's really going to happen. It could never happen. As long as human beings are on Earth, there will always be war and strife. So what are your thoughts on that?
We would say to you that, again, focus on your own creation. Focus on what, because you are creating your reality. And as more and more individuals vibrate at a higher level, are more aware, have a higher level of consciousness, what you create collectively will reflect that. Whatever is on the inside of you reflects on the outside of you. And so this, again, is these sayings of, humans will never be able to exist in without war. We would say that whatever you decide to create, you will create. You are gods. It is your God self that creates. If you truly believe or want on some level to create war, you will always have war. If you truly believe within yourself that this is not a creation you wish to continue, you will not have war. You will create here what it is that you desire, and you are creating at this point. There are those individuals, and we would say the majority, who still believe there is a need for conflict. There is a conflict within themselves, and it then becomes reflected on your planet as war. When individuals themselves can rise above their own inner conflict and come to an inner peace, there will no longer be war. And there will be a reflection like that of many other aspects of your reality. You will create this place to be exactly as you choose it to be. There are no limitations.
Okay.
There are no limitations, and you have been taught for millennia that there are limitations, that there are forces and individuals and psychic powers and all manner of things that are keeping you from creating what it is that you desire. And you are God. You will create what it is you choose.
Okay. Yeah, that leads beautifully into a question from the chat room, because as you were talking, I was thinking, well, okay, then if there are 6 billion people on this planet and each of us are creating our own world, so that would mean that there are, in essence, 6 billion planet Earths on planet Earth, because we all have our own. And the question from the chat room is, would you please address a phrase that keeps coming to mind? Each individual is a universe unto themselves.
It is truth. It is truth. You are a universe unto yourself. Your physical body is a universe unto itself. Each atom is as though it is a planet.
Mm-hmm.
Each atom within you is a singular consciousness coming together to do something with all of the other atoms that are of that same consciousness. It is a creation you have made. We would say that truly, there are 6 billion consciousnesses on this planet, and yet all of you are one. And this is the dichotomy that presents itself to your human brain, in which you battle with and try to access information about when you are still at a level where it is not a possibility for you to know. You have not raised your consciousness high enough yet to create the intellectual basis for understanding of this. Consciousness will not raise to that level until your beliefs change. And this is what consciousness raising is all about. This is what you've been all about over these past years, of creating places where you can understand things differently. Think of it from your own self, each of you, from your own personal perspective. What was your perspective on this world 10 years ago? What was it 5 years ago? What was it 5 days ago? And see how you have changed. See how you have evolved. Things look differently to you now, simply because things are in this state, in this world, in a constant state of flux and change. Any system that you have devised that tries to keep things the same can't work, and you are recognizing that now. You are starting to understand this. And as more understanding comes in, there will be more of a flow. And as there is more of a flow, you will understand your manifesting abilities even more. You will understand your empowerment. You will understand your divinity. And as this happens, you will then become the magnificent creators that you truly are. You will recognize.
Okay. That actually reminds me of one of my favorite sayings. I've got it hanging on my wall. Each time you remember the truth of who you are, you bring more light into the world. So when you are focusing on your divinity, you actually do expand the lighter consciousness of the whole, all that is.
This is truth. And on the opposite side of the spectrum, because you live in three dimension and all things are in a polarity, the opposite side of the spectrum is when you focus on that which you are not, you create misery and suffering. You create dysfunction. Is this not true?
Absolutely. In fact, it leads, once again, beautifully to my next question. I'm wondering, why is it so difficult to stay in a higher state of consciousness? I battle with this myself. I know what it feels like to be really, really connected, and there is nothing that feels better. It's such a magnificent feeling. And yet, me and most people that I know have a hard time not just staying there, but getting back there. We'll be wallowing in our daily bullshit misery, and knowing that that's available, knowing we can get there, but there's something perversely enjoyable about being miserable. Do you understand what I'm saying?
We would say that there are several factors within that. One of that would be that the humans on your planet are very addicted to drama. There is a huge addiction to this kind of drama that gives you this little jolt, so to speak. I'm alive. I feel miserable. I'm unhappy. I'm crying. I'm upset. All of those things makes you feel alive, because in many aspects of your life you have deadened yourself. You've shut yourself off from all the great myriad of emotions that you are capable of in this realm. And this has come about through many thousands of years of individuals believing they were limited, of individuals disconnecting from the planet, of individuals not recognizing the sacredness of being alive and in this human body on this planet. And we would say that as well, there is an indication for us that as you climb this ladder of ascension, as you move your frequency to higher levels, it would be as though you took an appliance from your kitchen, one with a three-prong plug, and you cut the prong off from it and stuck it into a socket that was designed for a much lower wattage. What would happen?
I don't even know.
We would say that your power outage then would create a blackout in your home, or it would dissolve the electrical components within the appliance that you plugged into the wall. The two are not compatible. And yet, if you leave the third prong on that plug and plug it into a circuitry that is designed to hold it, the appliance hums merrily along and does its work. We would say that as you shift and change your frequency, there are times when you are designed as a three-prong plug, and there are other times that you are designed as a two-prong plug. As you attempt to put the higher voltage into the lower frequency, there are times when this just does not work yet. As you evolve, you will all become three-prong.
Okay. Then that, once again, brings up another question. If you are feeling particularly expanded, centered, connected, all that, and you, I guess you wouldn't necessarily find yourself in a circumstance surrounded by negative people just because the disresonance would keep you away from it. But suppose that you do walk into a place where there's just all kinds of negativity, let's say a nightclub or whatever, and if you're not practiced at this, I know it can just like immediately suck the life right out of you. But how then do we, instead of letting it bring us down, how do we maintain our expansion and possibly raise the level of the room?
We would say, first and foremost, your question contains something that we see many of you spending a lot of time and energy trying to do.
Okay.
It is not your job, it is not your responsibility, nor is it even possible for you to go around and change other humans.
Okay.
That is their responsibility. It is a waste of your time. It is not your job, and it detracts from your own process. We would say that if the nightclub would be a situation that would draw your energy down, we would recommend you not go in. Or we would recommend that you spend your time other places. Or we would recommend that you at least limit your time that is spent in these places that degenerate your energy level. Not everyone would be degenerated in that environment. But if you are that person, if this is happening in your workplace for you, if this is happening in a certain space that you visit, perhaps a school, perhaps a civic organization, then this is a sign for you that there is a shifting going on with you that you need to honor, and that this no longer supports who you are. And it's time then to look around for another space, another organization or system to plug into that is more your own vibration, that supports you, who you are, at this time.
Okay. That perfectly, once again, leads into, we'll make this the last question because we've only got about 5 minutes left, but a question from the chat room says, well, if you want to stay away, that's fine, but sometimes you have family members in a lower vibration, and I know that that's a question for a lot of people. How do you function around your family, who you love and you don't want to lose and you don't want to shove out of your life, and yet they are on a much lower level of consciousness? How do you deal with that?
We would recommend to you that before any interaction with this individual or individuals, that you would take some moments of time to relax your body and bring yourself into a very relaxed and safe space. Then we would ask for you to center yourself in your heart, and we would ask you to fill yourself with compassion, tremendous amounts of compassion. Remind yourself that you are a being of unconditional love and unconditional acceptance, and that you would then enter your conversation or your visiting with this individual or individuals with your compassion foremost, and you would make an intention that you would love them where they are at. You do not need to change them. However, you do not need for them to try to change you either. Avoid those conversations that would bring up conflict. Out of genuine compassion for them and for yourself, know truly that you don't need to have acceptance from another for you to accept yourself, and that unconditional love comes with no strings attached. It is only a love that is given freely as a gift to another. It is not necessary for it to be reciprocated for you to be genuinely happy with yourself.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Well, thank you for this incredible conversation. I know I certainly learned a lot. We'll let you go and bring Glenna back in. And once again, thank you. Deep thank yous.
It is our great pleasure and joy to be of assistance. And so it is.
Okay. Well, it takes Glenna a couple minutes here to, well, maybe not a couple minutes, a little bit to come back. Wow. Thank you guys in the chat room for your questions. Those were great. I love the way these conversations just flow, where your question just happens to come along at the perfect time in the conversation. I don't know about you, but wow, I certainly got a lot of information from that channeling. Those of you who want to listen to it again at a later time, you can listen in the archives, download it, put it on your iPod, tell your friends. I think we got a lot of powerful stuff today. And Glenna, are you there yet?
Yep, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi.
Boy, you were good today.
Well, I'm glad I was good.
You're going to have to listen to that one later.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Fabulous. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left here, so let's go ahead and wrap up. Once again, Glenna is offering a special price because it just seems that the world needs some help right now. And so... so if you want to contact Glenna for a reading, once again, your email address is...
Mystical Ray, MysticalRae, @gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
And also, if anybody's got any questions, you know, that they just want to ask, either about something that we talked about today or whatever, you can email me. If I have the time and it feels right to me, I definitely will answer you.
Okay, great. And also, you have just begun posting recorded channelings on the website, the interviewwiththeuniverse.com website. You've got one up there, and I'm assuming more will be coming soon. And people
yes.
can send in questions for the guides for future recorded channelings. Is that correct?
Yeah, that would be great.
Great, great. Somebody here is asking, are you a conscious channel or unconscious? She's not aware of what she's saying. That's So that's why she doesn't have any idea what she just said over the last hour. It's always fun, isn't it?
It is. It's a real joy.
Okay, well, good enough. Once again, Glenna Dietrich, interviewwiththeuniverse.com, also metaphysicalwisdom.com. Again, these links will all be at the shapeshiftingonline.com website. Somebody was asking earlier about a way to do this. Check out the Shapeshifter's Daily Diary. That would be a fine way to do this. What else do we have here? Once again, the diary has just been released, so check it out. What else do we need to promote? Can you think of anything?
Just have a great, great day.
Yeah, that's a fine idea. Fine, fine idea. Okay, so Glenna, thank you for being here. Everybody in the chat room, thanks so much for your assistance here. You helped the conversation be even better than I could have done by myself. Listen in next time. I'm sure we're going to have Glenna back very soon because we've decided that this is a good way to get some information out there and have a good chat. So thanks again, everyone. This is Lisa Bonnies. Check out the website, shapeshiftingonline.com, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Lisa.